This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
What's up, and welcome back to the Freelance Friday podcast. I do a video at the end of every year breaking down my revenue streams, and I was just as surprised as some of you were to learn that 40% of my revenue last year came from brand deals. Historically, brand deals, sponsorships have never really been a big portion of the money that I make, but that's definitely changed. And I think it is a sign of the times, not just of my own work and platform. I'm really excited about kind of where the creator brand economy is going. So actually, before we get into me spilling the tea on everything I know about brand deals, I wanted to invite you to a free class that I'm co-hosting with my friend Nina Zeta. Nina has a company called Sidewalker Daily. She is a pro at all things brand sponsorships, creator monetization, and she's going to be teaching a class just for our community. I'm going to be there as well, co-hosting. So check it out. I'm going to leave a link down in the show notes. It is totally free, but you do have to register to attend. Nina has worked on the brand side of things for years and years, and she also helps creators monetize. And honestly, I have to credit some of that 40% revenue to Nina, because after I met her and started learning from her, I learned a lot more about how brand deals work and just how much opportunity there is in this space. So please join us. You will not regret it. I will leave a link down below. But for now, I want to tell you some of my experiences and answer some of the questions that you all sent in on Instagram about brand deals. So the first question or topic we're going to touch on today is, how can you work with brands? And generally speaking, there are three different types of brand deals or sponsorships that you might work on. The first way is gifting. Gifting happens when a brand sends you something, whether it's a food item, a makeup item, tickets to an event, it could be a lot of different things. They're going to send you something, and the ask is that you post about it pretty organically. Now, I do think that gifting can get abused really easily. You know, if you're just getting paid in product, well, your landlord or your mortgage company probably doesn't take makeup items or food items as payment, right? So there shouldn't really be an obligation to post, in my opinion. But sometimes you'll find brands who like want the sun, the moon, the stars for a free bag of potato chips or something. So take those with caution. I worked on gifting campaigns when I was first starting out, particularly when I was a beauty creator, and I really liked them because I didn't have to, you know, buy makeup ever. I never paid for makeup. And it's really nice because you can get material for your content. You know, maybe you're a booktuber and you get free review copies. Well, you're not having to go to Barnes & Noble or go to your local bookstore and pay for those books anymore. You're able to fuel your YouTube or your podcast or whatever with free products. So don't count that out. And sometimes free gifting campaigns can also turn into paid collaborations. So if you really like a brand and you're open to working with them on a gifting basis, and you do a good job and you get a tracking link and you show that you've actually encouraged X number of people to buy, well, you can use that as data and use it as a selling point for a paid campaign. Similarly, there is affiliate marketing. Now, affiliate marketing is a little bit different than brand sponsorships, but it is a way to work with a brand. It is a way to engage with a brand. And for me, this has resulted in about 9% of my revenue last year. So not a ton, but affiliate combined with sponsorships equals half of my revenue, which is pretty cool. So affiliate deals are similar to gifting. Maybe you get the product or service for free, or maybe not. Maybe you just pay for it and you're a loyal customer yourself. You get a link and you share it with people who might want to use the product or service, and you get credit for the people that you refer to actually pay. Now, the pro of an affiliate campaign is that it is not forced. You know, you have no posting obligation. For instance, I work with HoneyBook. I can talk about HoneyBook whenever I want or not talk about HoneyBook. I don't have to by any means. But if I'm doing a video where it just makes sense, or a student asks me a question, I can share it and maybe potentially get some revenue that way. But it's not like there are posting guidelines and dates and, you know, all of these strict things. It's really up to me. But of course, the con is that you have to actually sell product. You know, it is kind of commission-based, if you will, in that you really do have to encourage people to actually sign up. You are not going to get a flat fee up front. And then that's the last way that you could work with brands is brand sponsorships or, you know, collaborations, brand deals, some people say. So this is where you agree on a set of deliverables. Maybe it's one YouTube video or five TikToks or three podcast reads or whatever that might be. And you agree on a particular amount from that brand and they pay you either upfront or after the content has been posted, regardless of the results. Now, this is kind of the pinnacle of creator success, if you will. Most creators want to get to a point where they can just get consistent brand deals coming in because creating content, especially creating content for a brand, it is a lot of work. So it's always nice to have something that's kind of funding your creative work without having to constantly use affiliate links or just, you know, hustle, sell your own stuff, etc. Now, the next question that popped up is how does the process actually work for a brand deal? So it's very similar to a freelance contract, whether you are, you know, a social media manager or graphic designer, you're going to go through very similar things. You're going to reach out to the brand or they're going to reach out to you. You're going to have a call, talk about what the, you know, ideal deliverables are, the timeline, you know, all of those little details. You're going to make a proposal, give your rate. Usually with brand deals, there is some negotiation. So that is a little bit different sometimes than freelance work. Then you're going to sign a contract and start sending over deliverables. After that point, there usually is a review period for those deliverables. So I might send over a YouTube video, say, hey, this is what I'm looking to post. Can you all make sure it's okay? And they'll give you feedback and then you're free to post. That's kind of the condensed version. We'll go into those steps in a little bit more detail, but first I want to thank today's sponsor of the podcast, which is Metrical. And they actually have a really exciting new study out that I want to make sure you all check out. It'll be linked down in the show notes. It's all about LinkedIn, which is one of my favorite tools of the moment or platforms of the moment, shall I say. And I actually think it works really nicely with the episode that we're talking about today, because that's a big question I get is where do you find sponsors? How do you reach out to people? LinkedIn. If you don't got a LinkedIn profile and you're a creator, you should get on that because you can get in touch with these brands via LinkedIn. So we're a few months into the new year and Metrical has released their latest study, and this time it's all about LinkedIn. They analyzed over 1.5 million posts and over 40,000 accounts to bring you the latest data about the growing professional platform. So if you're wondering what formats perform the best, how often are brands posting on the platform, and when's the best day and time to post, be sure to download the full study down below and make sure to register for a free Metrical account today. You can also use the code Latasha to get 30 days free on any of their pro plans. So you might as well sign up for that as well. Check out the LinkedIn study and Metrical down in the show notes. And let me know, tag me if you find any interesting stats in that LinkedIn study. You can tag me on LinkedIn or Instagram or wherever you are connected with me. Okay, so let's go through those steps in a little bit more detail. First, we've got the outreach or the initial point of contact. There are a lot of ways that you can find brands. You can look on LinkedIn if there's like a particular brand that you might want to work with. For example, let's say Nike. I'm going to go onto LinkedIn. I'm going to type in Nike. I'm going to find their company page. I'm going to go to the people tab on that LinkedIn page. And I'm going to start typing in either partnerships or sponsorships or influencer or marketing manager. Like, look for any type of position that might be in charge of influencer collaborations. Everybody calls it a little bit something different. So use any of those terms. And again, Nina in her live class knows a lot more about this stuff than I do. So I'm sure she'll be sharing some more on exactly who to be reaching out to. But that's what I like to do. It's just look for partnerships, sponsorships, etc. Find those people and you can send them connection requests. Again, this is just like freelancing. You don't want to kiss on the first date, as I like to say. You don't need to blow up their LinkedIn DMs and be like, oh my gosh, sponsor me, but just make that connection. They'll see if your LinkedIn profile is set up properly, they will see that you are a content creator. And if you are the type of content creator they want to work with, you know, they'll reach out. Don't call me, I'll call you, if you will. Some brands, on the other hand, have sponsorship or affiliate or collaboration links on their website. So always just do a thorough search of a website. If you have a brand that you know you want to work with, just do a little digging on their website. My advice, though, is don't use the contact form unless it specifically has a drop down or a checkbox for brand collabs. I know as somebody who has managed websites for clients, as somebody who has my own websites, it is very frustrating when people fill out the contact form for something other than what it's actually utilized for. So I don't recommend saying, hey, I have a customer service issue, and then actually asking for a sponsorship, you know, not a great idea. Do your due diligence, do some digging, reach out to people, make contacts. That's a good starting point. Now, there's also inbound collaborations that, you know, the boring answer is that they come from just doing good work, just posting consistent content, having high quality content, having brand safe content. This is another big thing, because I'm sure my sponsors wouldn't want to work with me if I was swearing up a storm, if I was, you know, just ranting and raving and just being really inappropriate at all times and representing them poorly. So yeah, it is a little bit more challenging for brands in certain verticals. If they're maybe more adult or more, you know, scandalous or political or something like that, it is going to be a little bit more challenging to get sponsors, but it is not impossible. I think the key there is just to make sure that you're reaching out to brands that are in alignment. And there are plenty of political and adult brands and things like that that will want to work with you, but you want to make sure, you know, you're not going to like reach out to Disney or some super family-friendly platform if you are in a little bit more of a scandalous niche, if you will. So yeah, create content, make sure that your contact info is readily available, have it on your website. Like, I have it written out on my website. I have it written out on my YouTube channel in my description box. Warning, you might get some spam if you do that, but I think the benefit really does outweigh the negative. And also, if you have forms on your website, I have learned this the hard way so many times. Check them, check your spam. This has happened to me twice now where my forms for some reason went into spam, like a spam inbox, and I've missed out on months worth of leads, of partnership inquiries. It's really embarrassing for me as a business owner and as a creator. So do as I say, not as I do, and make sure to like regularly check your email. So then when it comes to kind of getting to know each other, negotiation, all of that stuff. First off, I always recommend getting on a call. Again, this is just like freelancing. My first goal for a freelance client is always just to get them on a call. It's so much easier to sell, to understand the scope, to get all of those questions out of the way on a call versus going back and forth through email. And sometimes sponsorships move really fast. Like, I have had sponsorship outreach to contract to invoice happen in like 3 days, especially towards the holiday time, end of year time. It can be a goldmine. So you want to make sure that you're acting fast and that you're not just kind of getting lost in the shuffle. So get people onto a call. You can use a scheduling tool like Honeybook, for example, a calendar scheduling tool to get them to book calls with you. There's free ones out there, of course, as well, but Honeybook is my fave. And just get on a call, have a conversation, ask all of those questions about deliverables. What do they need from you in exchange for, you know, whatever it is they're paying you? What are the timelines? What are the review timelines? This is important too. I've learned over the years that I really have to ask two different timelines. When is our go live goal date? And when is our for review goal date? Because some brands can review and approve a piece of content in a day. Some don't need any review time. Others take like weeks. So you want to be sure that you're planning ahead so that your own personal posting schedule isn't getting thrown off because of that. And then I like to ask for budget too. Sometimes brands have no idea. Sometimes they play really shy about it, but I personally like to ask just so I don't waste my time. If they're like, yep, we are ready to pay $100 for a YouTube video. Sorry, not sorry. I'm not able to take that on. I'm not going to waste our time putting together a proposal where I'm going to ask for $2,500, $3,000, whatever that price might be. I just am going to let them know that's below my budget. Let me know if your budget changes. Again, just like freelancing. Now, pricing. I know you're probably thinking, well, what can I charge for sponsorships? And the answer is...
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
Honestly, you could charge whatever you want to charge. Of course, yes, your view count, your subscriber count, your engagement rate, all of those things are factored in, but they are not hard and fast rules. I want to say that very clearly. Like I said, sponsorships were 40% of my revenue last year. If we include affiliate, brand deals total, 50% of my revenue almost. I do not have the biggest channel. I do not have the best, highest engagement rate in the world, but what I do have is a very solid niche. And I also have a niche that is, you know, willing to spend a little bit of money. People are watching and listening to my YouTube because they want to improve their businesses. And I don't know about you, but I personally spend more on my business than like anything else in my life, really. From camera gear to software to team members that I hire, salaries, things like that. I am willing to spend a little bit if it's going to help my business along. So it's actually not out of the realm of possibility for somebody like me, or probably a lot of you watching or listening, to be able to charge a higher rate than somebody who has, you know, 500,000 followers, but is strictly entertainment or strictly aimed at, you know, teenagers who tend to not have a lot of money and so on. So I see a lot of formulas out there that just go off of subscriber count, engagement rate, and it tells me that I should be charging like $500 if I just went off of that math, and there's no way that that is what I'm charging. So know the value of, you know, what your influence is, for lack of a better word. Know the value of your content, of just producing the content on its own has a lot of value. You know, clients pay me just to produce videos for them without me even starring in them. So if you have a really high quality setup, if you have, you know, an education behind you in producing high quality content, like a unique type of experience, factor that in. And I know this is still not a number answer. I know everybody wants a number, but there are a lot of variables that go into it. I'll tell you super candidly, I mean, I've been paid $20,000 for a couple of Instagram reels before that could be used in advertising, just to be clear. And we'll get to that in a second, not just to like post it organically, but still, I've been paid around that much. I've had contracts that were close to six figures just for a package. Now, not just for one video, but for a package of different, you know, deliverables, Instagram posts, videos, things like that. So it is absolutely possible. If I were to have just went off of follower count, engagement rate, I would have been quoting like 5,000 max for those packages. So you have to keep your unique skills and influence and all of that into account as well. Now, contracts. You always want to make sure that you have a contract. One of my very early I got screwed over moments, for let's just say, let's be frank here. It came from a sponsorship. They paid me, you guys are going to laugh, this was early, early days, and I was being paid, I want to say it was $50 for one video. They also gave me a gift card to use on their website. It was a clothing website. So to be fair, I did buy like $100 worth of clothes, but still, they never paid me. They never paid me. They ghosted after I posted the video, and it was really depressing. Obviously, the $50 wasn't going to change my life, but it was just kind of a slap in the face. It just felt terrible. It felt like I was being robbed, you know, and I kind of was. And it felt like I was doing a disservice to you all too, because I was recommending, you know, a company that was sketchy. And so I ended up taking the video down later on, but the damage had already kind of been done, you know? So get a contract, always. There are so many contract templates available. I like the website Coaches and Company. I'll leave their link down in the resources. They have amazing contract templates. Also, HoneyBook has contract templates. Now, sometimes brands will just send over their own contract. I actually prefer this if they just have their own legal team get something together. The more established brands usually will always have something like that. If that is the case, though, look out for a couple of things. Here are the things that I always like to look out for. Number one, I look out for usage rights. Usage rights refer to essentially how a brand is able to use your content. So sometimes if you're just doing a one-off sponsorship, there will be no usage rights. And it's just, hey, just post it to your audience organically. that's what we're paying you to do. And the value there is really your audience. It's to get a product or service in front of your audience. But nowadays, especially, we've talked about it on this podcast before. We've talked about UGC, user-generated content. Nowadays, this kind of hybrid of sponsorships and UGC is becoming more and more common. So what that basically means is they're not just paying for my audience, for, you know, to be introduced to my audience, but they're paying to have me essentially be a spokesperson for their brand. And they want to be able to use my likeness in Facebook ads or, you know, organic content for their own social channels or like lots of different things it could be. So that's all fine. There's nothing wrong with that, but you want to make sure that you check the contract to make sure that you are not getting a completely messed up deal. Let's just say some brands will want full usage rights for up to like 3 years. And I'm like, that's just unethical. I'm going to be honest, in my opinion, because let's say that I'm not going to say a real brand because I don't want to get sued, but let's just say I'm working with a brand that produces this dress or whatever. And I sign off on usage rights. They start running my face in Facebook ads. And then their CEO gets in trouble for doing, you know, some type of abusive or shady type of practice. Well, if they were still running my face in their ads, it looks negatively on me. And it could look negatively on me for 3 years. The other problem with that is, well, what if I want to work with one of their competitors? Well, then I technically have to wait like 3 years to be able to do that, because what competitor is going to want to hire me when my face is on a Facebook ad for, you know, somebody else? So keep that in mind. If you're going to have long usage rights, make sure you raise that rate a lot or negotiate it down. Similarly, another thing is exclusivity. Now, most brands will have some amount of exclusivity, meaning that, again, let's say I'm working with this dress brand. They'll say, you can't work with other dress brands or whatever, who are our competitors while we're working on this campaign. That is sometimes okay. Sometimes it's not. If you are a fashion account and you post dresses every single day, that's really going to hinder your ability to make money and keep your content calendar full. But if it's me, somebody who doesn't really post about fashion that much, well, then I might be okay signing off on exclusivity for a month or however long I need to. But again, pay attention to those timelines, because if it is something ridiculous like years or, you know, even multiple months, you want to make sure that you are being compensated for that accordingly. The last thing I'll say about that, though, is I also just use my own best judgment too. So even when I work with brands that do not have exclusivity written into the contract, I usually just give them exclusivity. Like, I'm not realistically going to work with, I'm not working with them, but let's just pretend I'm working with Apple, like an iPhone, and then promote BlackBerry at the same time. Like, I also think it is important that we are being good brand partners and keeping those things in mind within reason. And then the last step there is really drafting the content. Film the content. I don't need to go over that. You know how to do what you do best. Most brands will send you over a brief that kind of has some talking points or maybe some graphics if it's, you know, a software tool or something like that that can help you along. But nowadays, I think brands are understanding a little bit more that we need creative control for it to really work. So I'm grateful for that. So you make your content and then you send it over to them for review. I actually just found out about the coolest tool, and I am so proud to share it with you because it is created by a fellow YouTuber named Natalie Barbu, who I got to give a shout out to her because she is one of the few, like, larger, you know, more popular creators who have given me a public shout out, and she is just the sweetest. I had a call with her recently to learn about her tool, Rella, and she's awesome, and what she's building is really cool. So it basically is a tool that can help you project manage your sponsorships. It is really amazing. I'll leave a link for that down in the show notes if you want to check that out as well. But you can go in there and upload your drafts. So let's say I'm being paid to make a, you know, Instagram reel for Nike or whatever, upload my draft, add my client or my sponsor onto there, and then they can comment and give me feedback on the draft and say, hey, you need a revision, or cool, looks good, good to post, and so on. Of course, if you're not using Rella or a tool like that, you can just use Google Drive. That's what I have used for years. It's fine. It's got some limitations. It's nice to have the comments and things like that back and forth in a tool like Rella, but you got to start somewhere. And definitely if you're new to this, maybe just send things over email or Google Drive or whatever. But be prepared for feedback. Be prepared for revisions. This is one of the reasons why it is important that you charge a price that feels right to you. At the end of the day, you know, my favorite term about pricing is pricing really is personal. You have to charge a number that you are going to feel confident about, that you are not going to feel resentful of, because revisions, the back and forth, the critique on like your own creation can feel really a lot. It can be a lot. Sponsorships are wonderful. I love working with brands, but sometimes it can just be a little bit overwhelming and slow moving. The bigger the brand, the slower they move, I've found. So make sure that you are charging enough and make sure that you always have, you know, content, backup content, so that you're not left scrambling with nothing to post on a regular upload date. So your audience is missing out. This is something I struggled with for a long time, of figuring out like, how do I make sure I can stay on my schedule and also work with brands? So with that said, I want to answer some questions that I didn't get into. I know this is becoming a long episode, but there is a lot to talk about here. And reminder, come to my class with Nina. We're going to go through all of this in much more detail and really talk about the pitching process, how to land brands. Even if you are a small creator, this is really important. I have been working with brands for years, way before I even hit 100,000 subscribers. I think I started working with brands under 5,000, truthfully. So there is a lot of opportunity. And I also think it's going to be a cool class for those of you who work on the brand side. If you're a marketer and your clients want to work with influencers, you can learn kind of the reverse side of it. So you can, you know, craft those influencer marketing campaigns for your clients and upsell them as well. So make sure to register. I'll leave a link in the show notes for you. And let's get to some more of these questions. Okay. So speaking of that, this one, if you work at a company, how do you reach out to creators for brand sponsorships? Really great question. So I used to work at an influencer marketing startup. This was my job. It was just to find content creators, recruit them to the platform, match them with projects. So I know a little bit about this side of things too. And that's the key, is to make sure that you are choosing a right fit. So just come up with a list, you know, have like a Google Doc running or whatever of people that you would really like to work with, that are dream collaborators, that share your brand values, that post high quality brand friendly content, that have good engagement, that are growing their following ethically, things like that. Then I always recommend talking to your client and coming up with a brief, coming up with a creative brief. Like, what do we want to get out of this sponsorship engagement? You know, are we looking for just straight conversions? Do we just want to sell a bunch of stuff? Or are we new in the market? We're a newer business, we're a newer brand, and we need to work on education first and just kind of growing our following, educating people on what we're all about. Like, figure out what that end goal is, or what that primary goal is, I guess, and come up with a brief. Do you want a bunch of TikToks? Do you need content to post on your own social media? In which case you're going to need to write in those usage rights, maybe exclusivity, all of those things. Like, talk to your client, figure out what exactly they need, and then just start reaching out to people. Build out that creative brief that has examples of content you're looking for, messaging, you know, timelines, dates, graphics, photos, anything that they're going to need to create high quality content, and then just start reaching out to people. I always prefer that brands reach out to me via email. Maybe I'm old school. I know lots of people use DM nowadays, but I just think it's more professional. And a lot of creators do have managers or teams that work with them as well. We didn't even get to that. Maybe that'll be a question. But yeah, you know, a lot of creators have people who are checking these things for them. So email is the best way to go. And then, yeah, invite them on a call or say, hey, do you have a media kit? That's something that some creators will have that they'll send over. It's kind of like a portfolio or like a resume for creators that will have their rates in it sometimes, sometimes not. I know Nina teaches not to put rates in media kits, and she'll explain why on her call. But yeah, ask them what they've got, and you can kind of just take the conversation from there and start negotiating. How do you know when to stop doing product for posts? So yeah, this is definitely how I started working with brands, was just accepting free products. And I say until it doesn't serve you. You know, I loved taking free makeup because I didn't have to pay for it, and because it was creating content for my channel that I didn't have to pay for, which was nice. So for me, it had a positive ROI. But if you are being sent things that you really don't want, that you really don't need, or you are feeling like the amount of work that you're putting into talking about those products is outweighing what you're getting out of it, then it's time to ask for some money or get out of there. So that's going to be different for everybody. I don't think there's a particular like subscriber number, follower count, or anything like that. I still accept free products sometimes if it's good and if it's something that I want. I just accepted some podcasting equipment. There were no posting requirements with it, though. They did not care if I did or did not post. I mean, obviously, I'm sure they want me to post, but they did not say, you must give 5 Instagram stories and use these talking points. It was totally up to me. So for me, it felt worth it. I also accepted some, I accept snacks sometimes, like any vegan food brands that want to send me food. I usually take it just because that is a little bit more of a passion thing for me too. Promoting smaller vegan brands, I like to support them. So it depends. But also, you know, yeah, if you're going to give me a long list of deliverables or it's going to be something that is very niched into my audience, then you're going to have to pay. How can I approach boutique hotels to offer them content partnership for video content? Again, this is a question we got to ask Nina, because I know she specifically works with a lot of travel brands. I have not yet pitched this, but that's on my to-do list because I do quite a bit of traveling. And honestly, I would love to do that. So maybe we'll learn together in Nina's class. How did your first deal happen? My first deal, one of my first deals was one that I got scammed out of $50 for. So maybe not a good example, but they reached out to me on YouTube. You know, I'd created content that was about whatever, you know, is a similar niche as their, it was a clothing store and similar niche, similar audience that they wanted to reach. And they reached out via email and I did not do enough research into them. And I said yes, and I lost some money. First good deals, similar way, you know, usually they all come from YouTube. That's my primary platform. So that's usually where brands want to work with me. So I think that's important too, is having like a primary platform is important as opposed to like spreading yourself too thin. I recommend this just for content strategy in general. It's a little bit easier to grow if you say, you know what, I'm really focused on growing the podcast. I'm going to get my podcast listens up so I can start pitching for podcast sponsors or YouTube or Instagram or TikTok or whatever platform you're most focused on. And so, brands usually reach out to me via my YouTube description box or YouTube profile. And then the last question is about management. Do you think that creators need to work with a manager, or when should they start working with a manager? And my answer is, again, it depends. I know that's an annoying answer, but I've worked with managers and I've worked without managers. Currently, I do not have representation and I'm really liking it, because here's the thing, no matter how wonderful of a person a manager is, they're getting a cut. You know, it's like the Kris Jenner, like momager jokes and stuff. They're getting a cut. So even if they like you, even if they're nice to you, they're still going to have a certain slant, I guess, if you will. They're going to have an objective that sometimes does not align with your values or your workload or your mental health or whatever that might be. And so if you are going to work with a manager, I definitely recommend working with a manager who is experienced, who really respects you and understands your working style and all of that. And ideally that has other clients, and ideally, like, it's weird, but you want to be if I work with a manager again, I want to be like in the mid range of who they represent. I don't want to be the smallest talent on their roster, because I have heard that a lot of times, you know, they get the short end of the stick. They're never getting the deals and all of that. But on the other hand, I have been in the situation where I was the largest, I had the largest audience for a manager, and I felt like I was constantly, like, you know, being kind of taken advantage of. And I felt like they were a little bit more concerned with their career than actually helping mine. So vet them carefully if you're going to work with them. One, I have worked with amazing managers. I've also worked with managers who, like I said, were not my favorite and I do not think had my best interests in mind. So vet them carefully, but also know that you can do it on your own, honestly. I mean, my biggest deals, the deals that I've told you about, the close to 6-figure deals, the, you know, 20K for a couple of reels, those were all negotiated by myself. they absolutely can help from like a resource point of view of just kind of taking care of emails, hopping on calls when you're not available. But for me, my largest deals have honestly come from just relationship building, just genuinely building relationships with brands that I love and advocating for myself that way. So it's totally possible either way. All right. Long podcast. Thank you for sticking with me. And thank you so much to Metricool for sponsoring this episode. Be sure to check out their LinkedIn study. It's going to be linked down in the show notes. Also, come join Nina Zeta and I from Sidewalker Daily on our class all about brand deals, how to pitch brand deals. You can come if you are an influencer or content creator. You can come if you are on the brand side wanting to learn how it all works. It's going to be such a fun time. She is so, so knowledgeable. So I'd love to see you there. This is just for our community. So your support means a lot. Link down in the description. And I hope this was helpful for you. Good luck if you're looking to get some brand deals. I'll talk to you soon. Bye.